Documentary Podcast. Today, oh, my voice cracked there. Today is Monday, June 16th, 2014. You're listening to episode 107, did I say?
107.
It may sound a little weird here because we're in the car. We're actually driving to Origins. Also, I've been sick for about a week, so my voice is all messed up. So, sorry about that. My name is Rob. You just heard Jason.
And we've got somebody else in the car. We picked up somebody along the road.
Hitchhiker. Seemed like a nice enough guy. I don't know.
Turns out he plays games.
Hey, guys. You going to Origins?
It was pretty amazing.
I got some prototypes.
Yeah, we could see that sign that you had that said Origins or Bust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think any sign ever said that.
Hi, I'm Andy Lennox.
We got Andy with us. We've talked about Andy before on the show.
Yeah.
And we hope to never have him on the show, but it turns out that we had to record
you
in the car.
You can't avoid it.
No.
You can't avoid it.
There's no escaping like, Andy Lennox.
I'm like a podcast plague. I spread quickly.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
And I mean, yeah.
Infectious. Well, I infected one of your shows once, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We got some cross-pollination going on.
Right.
Here.
Right.
So it's only fair.
Oh, it's a cross-promotional situation.
Yeah. And Andy is from the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast he does with Jason Kutarski. And,
yeah. It's another good show. You should listen to it.
You should listen to that show. It's. Yeah. We talk about really short little games.
And if you get bored with it, it's probably over by then, because it's only 20 minutes
long.
You
don't have enough time to figure out that it's really, like, not that good of a show.
Right. And it's nice, too, because, like, sometimes if you guys talk about a game that I'm like, I'm not interested in this game, like, you're only talking about it for, like, 3 minutes. And then you're moving on to a game that I'm interested in.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's not like our show where we might talk about for 20 minutes about something you hate.
And we do interview stuff sometimes of designers and things. We've had Daniel Solis on there, and Jason Tagmeyer.
Ben Pinchbeck and Matt Riddle.
Yep, they were on there, and Chris Kirkman from Dice Hate Me was on one of the episodes, so.
Matt, those are people we've never had that we should have.
Sometimes it's interesting to
good guys
to make games. The Builders.
I'm
a longtime builder.
Yeah, thank you, man.
I love the show. I'm glad I get to see you guys doing it live. This is a...
In fact, we had a funny conversation earlier in the car.
The one about vampires?
Said, no.
No.
We're not ever going to talk
we're
about the one about
vampires.
But we had a conversation about Gen Con last year and how we're going to do the live show again this year, and we did it last year. And I said, Andy, you should come this year. And he said, well, I was there last year. But he didn't come talk to us, so we had no idea.
I didn't want to bother you guys.
Yeah.
You guys were doing your thing. You were in the zone. You were, like, setting up microphones and things. I don't know.
We were very impressive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a good time. It was a good panel.
We're good.
You guys, the builders, should all, because I'll be there again this year, and these guys will, you builders should all come to it. Do you have a time set yet?
Yeah. 2 p.m. on Saturday.
2 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be in the Crown Plaza, which isn't as cool as having it right by the main vendor hall, but it's...
Was it in the Crown? That was the same place it was last year, right?
No, last year it was in the main vendor hall. It was right by the main vendor hall, which is actually near the Crown Plaza. Like, the Crown Plaza is a very close hotel.
Yeah.
They've got nice rooms in there, so it'll be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're driving to Origins right now. We just passed Findlay, Ohio. I think we're going to be there in about an hour and a half.
Yep.
Let's talk about what we're bringing to Origins. We're just coming for a day trip, the three of us.
So that's going to be our main feature here. We're going to talk about what we're all bringing.
Yeah, so you're the guest, Andy. What are you bringing with you?
Oh, man. I'm bringing Camp Khaki, which is a game me and Jace Kutarski made. And the premise of that is that you are khaki scouts, which is a equal opportunity scouting organization that is unrelated to the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. And you are going on a weekend trip in the woods. So you want to build, you know, get your basket weaving badge and get your and do some sack races and stuff. But the main idea of this game is there is a sort of modular board made out of cards.
Mm-hmm.
The cards have a forest on one side and then some sort of thing in the forest on the other side. You shuffle the cards together and like half of them go face up, half of them go face down, and then you just spread the cards out all out on the table, like in a big messy pile.
Mm-hmm.
And then you play with that as the modular board. So the game consists of, like, pushing the cards around with one finger and, like, manipulating this pile of cards. And then trying to gather resources from the forest, like berries and wood. And, like, then you're taking pictures of animals. And collecting sets of animals get you points. And then building things get you points. And you need to use different kinds of food to, like, fuel your actions. And it's this, like, light Euro dexterity thing. And then there's, like, also these badges that you can get based on, like, performing different actions in the woods. Like, I can't even think of any of them right now, but...
Yeah, and I got to play that because Katarski brought it with him when I went with him and Jeff Large to Protospiel this year. And that was super fun.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed playing it. And, Jason, you played it at Unpub, right?
Yep. Yeah, I played the original version of it.
Yeah, it was called Ohalo before, and it was about, like, building huts, and it was, like, the dawn of civilization, and you were, like, a tribe settling down, but meh, Boy Scouts are more fun.
I mean, the game was super fun, but, yeah, the theme was certainly, just... It was an acceptable theme. I mean, it wasn't an exciting theme. The title was exciting. Ohalo, that sounded great. I really liked that. Mm-hmm. The theme was just, it was your standard, you know, Euro stylish theme.
Stone Age-y kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Then I have another game called Zushido.
Zushido.
Zushido. It's a Bushido dueling between animals in the zoo. So when the zoo closes down at night, what you don't know is that after the caretakers go home, all the animals actually don their samurai armor and get out their family blades and have deadly samurai duels.
I actually did know that. but I'm glad someone else is finally talking about it.
So I decided to make a game about the truth of the zoo.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of really like a Ben Stiller movie.
Or Kevin James.
Yes. Yeah. So, that one's like, right now it's a two-player game. I have some ideas for expanding that, but it's a two-player game where it's sort of puzzly dueling game where every card you play has a suit, and every suit has a specific action. But on the cards, like, if you turn them sideways, there's, like, combinations of these suits. So, like, one might be, like, one of the suits is strike, one of the suits is throw. So there might be a card, like, when you turn it sideways, it says strike, strike, throw. So if there's ever two strikes and a throw in play anywhere that anyone played, you get to, like, perform that combo, and it does damage to your opponent.
Okay.
It's sort of goofy to explain, but...
It's really easy to play, though. Taught it to me at Unpub, and I just loved it.
Once you pull one combo off, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. But it's goofy. I've been working on that one for, oh, God. Like 5 years on and off.
Wow.
Yeah, me and my friend came up with the original concept like a long time ago, and we built this game, and it didn't really work. And it was all built on this mechanic of, like, I play a number and you have to play within one of that number. And, like, we really focused on that, but that didn't really work that well. And we had this game, and I just didn't know what to do with it. And then I had an artificial intelligence class for college. And I was like, you know what I'll do? I'll build, like, a simulator for this game and prove that it doesn't work. So that was, like, one of my, like, main projects in that class. And I built all these bots to play the game. And, like, I made this really fancy AI bot that would, like, do all this, like, pathfinding to figure out the best way to play each hand.
Wow.
And that one lost to the one that would just play the, like there was a bot that was really dumb and just played whatever card was, like, the easiest.
Yeah.
Like, the closest, and it lost every, or the super complicated one lost every time to the really simple one, and I was like, that's not a good sign. So we went back to the drawing board with that one, and the number aspect is still in there, but it's not, like, the main part of the game anymore. It's more about playing the suits, performing the actions, and then getting the right combinations of things in play. Mm-hmm. So it's a completely different game than it was before, but, like, it's been in some sort of incarnation with me for a long time.
Cool.
Yeah. But it's funny, like, I made that game, and I was really excited to, like, make a game, and it just didn't work, and I was really bummed. And then I was like, you know, I started listening to your guys' podcast and started getting all psyched up about games again. I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this game. And I was like, I had all these other game ideas. Like, no, I can't make all these other games. I have to make this game work or else I'll never make any game work. So that's the one I chose.
Yeah.
So here we are, Zushido. It actually works. It's fun now. So.
Cool. Great.
Awesome.
And then I'm bringing another one. It's a little bit more of a prototype. It's a little rough around the edges, but it's called Cake-tastrophe. You are really just terrible, terrible bakers at a cake shop, and you keep knocking cakes over and then trying to, like, cobble them back together to, you know, not lose a bunch of points. So,
yeah.
It's a light card game. It's a little take that, but, yeah, working on that. It's pretty fun.
Cool.
What are you guys bringing? Man, that was... Sorry, I monopolized the time there.
It's fine.
It's all right.
Okay. Let's see. I've got Epic Monster Tea Party with me, so hoping to get some plays into that.
I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, thank you. I'm pretty pleased with it. Hoping that I can get some more people excited about it and actually sell a few copies on Game Crafter.
That'd be a bonus.
Yeah. I've got Innkeepers with me, which is the one I really kind of want to spend the most time on if I can.
I can't wait to play that either.
Yeah, great. Get as many games in of that as possible. I've talked ad nauseum about that one on the show, so I won't waste too much time talking about that. And I brought Rocket Wreckers with me because people often ask me about that. So we'll see. And
I know you quit working on that, but I'd love to try it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can certainly talk about that. I I've talked about this on the show too, but I just felt like I just couldn't crack it. I couldn't.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting topic when you guys were talking about how to know when to quit a game or how to know when to set it aside and move along.
And I mean, there's no good way to know for sure that it's time. But I mean, I just decided it was time to move on from that.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not going to forget about it. But for now, it's back burner.
As a fan of the show, I gotta play it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I brought Damsels in Distress with me, actually. Because I've got that, and I haven't played it in more than a year.
Continue on to US 23 South.
All right, US 23 South.
So now you know where we are when we're having this conversation.
Yeah. And we've been stuck behind a semi going 55 for the last 15 minutes, which really sucks. So Damsels in Distress, it might be fun to pull that out at some point, too, but that's lowest priority for me.
Remember that one? Maybe I missed that episode.
That was the kind of the.
It's your first pitch ever.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, not my first pitch ever, but the first.
First proto that you made.
Yeah, proto that I ever did that I brought with me to Gen Con a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think I started listening right around like Offset Card System era, a little bit before that.
You know, those old episodes are still out there, Andy.
I know.
And other listeners.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's all I've got. And I brought my Marvel Dice Masters set, so...
Yeah, we're going to play some Marvel Dice Masters.
I'm looking forward to that. I've still never played it.
Oh, it's so fun.
I'm super excited. I brought mine, too. And in addition to that, Chevy Dodd and I both bought 10 packs.
Oh,
we're going to do a sealed game where we
sealed
just...
draft.
Yeah, sealed, where we'll just, open up and then use whatever we want out of those.
Yeah.
So...
That's cool.
I've bought more of those than I'd like to admit. More of those than I will admit. So... And then I brought Gunslinging Ramblers, which I've talked about on the show a lot over the years. And that I'm going to pitch today to somebody. And so I'll get at least one play of that in. And so that's my goal with that one, is just to get at least one play in with the publisher and some other people. And then...
Did you try the changes that you made yet?
Some of them, but not all of them. All right. So, yeah. That new drafting mechanic, I have not tried yet. But I'm pretty comfortable with how that will work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer with how
it will
work.
Once you know a system well enough, small changes, you can pretty much figure out what's going to happen.
And there's no reason why, like we tried a drafting system before with, a line of Ramblers you could purchase, and what didn't work about that was it was so easy to forget about them, but because you'll be able to give them drinks now, there's no reason to not be thinking about them. They're right there in your face. Yeah. Every round, somebody's likely going to be giving them drinks, or... giving drinks to other players trying to knock them out. So anyways, I've got that.
I have Zoopocalypse because I really wanted to make sure we had lots of games with Zoo in the title.
And we should put ours in a shared game world. During the day, they try to escape. During the night, they have samurai battles.
Yeah. Right.
Sure. Yes. Well, yeah, and mine there. So for me, Zoopocalypse is a... somebody I talked to suggested that I make a more strategic version of in the water balloon washout system. So the very, very core mechanics of having having characters in front of you, those characters getting knocked out of the game, and how you play cards is the same as water balloon washout. This is like the 12 plus version where you've got a lot more strategy. All of the characters are animals. They all have a special ability. When you play a card, you can play the card to use the ability on the card, or instead you can discard the card to use one of your animal's abilities. And I've gotten some tests into that, and it's been fun so far. I made some bigger changes, so this will be kind of my final proof of concept. Like, is this going to be good enough to continue with, or is it not? And then the last game I brought is In a Hail of Bullets, which I've talked about a lot on the show as well. I'm really excited about the newest version of the prototype.
Yeah, I can't wait to try this one.
Yeah, and the new version is completely untested, but again, it's going to work better than the last version, and the last version was fun. So
yeah.
The last version had some glaring issues, mainly that it had a big board you were moving around on that sucked. Rob suggested getting rid of it was kind of like the Clue board to where you've got a bunch of empty spaces that you're never going to be used.
Yeah.
Rob suggested that, and so did Isaac Shalov, we talked to on the show a lot. They both suggested that. So we came up with a system where there's just 9 cards on the board. One in the center is the detective offices. Around that are the places you can go. And to move from one card to the other, you just discard 2 cards. So, there's that. And, of course, I have several copies of Water Balloon Washout with me, including an open copy in case someone actually wants to just see it. And I mean, if I could sell those, that's awesome. If I can't, I might give some to reviewers if they're there. That's what I've got.
And that you reminded me, because you're going to be showing a publisher, Ramblers. The main reason I was coming here is because I had a meeting scheduled with a publisher to show them Tea Party and Innkeepers. And that fell through at the last minute. The publisher couldn't make it to Origins. So basically, I have nothing to do today. So I'll just be hanging out playing games. So,
yeah, that's kind of all of our goal. We agreed we'd check out the vendor hall right away, say hi to some friends and stuff, and then we're gonna try and sit down and just get a lot of playtests in.
Yeah,
because we need a lot of playtesting on these games. And you know, we kind of like to set a bar for what are we gonna consider a successful day. And I said if I can get one playtest of every game that I brought, so 3 games, I would be ecstatic. Hopefully I get more than that, but I would be happy with that. I don't know how you guys feel about what would make you feel like you did well at Origins.
Yeah, I'd like to play Zushido a little bit and get some outside ideas on it. Like, I feel like it's in a good space, but I know there could be more there, and I just want to talk to some people about ideas and play with other designers and get their feedback on like where else I could go with it, because it's pretty bare bones right now. But I mean, like, the system is fun, but I feel like it could be, I could make it over the top good.
Right, and I'm super interested to try it because I loved it at Unpub, so I'm really interested to try the refined version. So
and then the window's open. And then on our last episode of 20 Minutes of Filler, I was just like, we were talking about conventions, and I put out there like I want to play games with everybody. So my other goal is to find somebody who actually like listens to the show and then play a game with them. If I can do those 2 things, I will consider Origins a success.
Nice.
My bar is pretty low.
How about you, Rob?
I just want to play some games. I'd like to get 2 or 3 games of Innkeepers in, but
yep.
You know, if time allows, and I want to play Zoopocalypse. Zushido. Excuse me.
Zushido.
Why does that? Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I named my game a Zoo.
No, that's okay.
Name. There's two zoo games.
And it's funny because we did that independently of each other.
Right.
No.
Yeah, well, I want to play both the zoo games. The Zushido sounds like right up my alley.
Yeah, I think you'll really dig Zushido.
Yeah.
Seems like something you'd like. Cool.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah. And hopefully we'll meet some Valiant Builders. By the time this episode posts, of course, this will have all happened.
The Valiant Builder thing. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Hopefully the other builders didn't. Did you bring those cards?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You, Andy, could be the first Valiant Builder.
I am a Valiant Builder. Hey. Give me my card.
Well, it's in the trunk.
It's in the trunk. So, yeah.
But, yeah, no. We will do that because they're awesome. The cards are so awesome.
I want to see because all I have is your, like, descriptions of, like, Angus Young. Or, yeah. No, that Brian Johnson.
Yeah,
Brian
yeah.
Johnson superhero guy. Or, and then,
Japanese Colossus.
I want to see, like, because I have envisioned in my head
right.
what these are. I want to see how close they are.
And Cybernetic Three Musketeers.
Yeah. Yeah. Excited about that.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be funny.
So, and we'll probably get some more action from that at Gen Con. Because there'll be more people at Gen Con. But,
yeah.
And I'm assuming at our live show, we'll get several people to come up.
So many Valiant Builders.
So,
yeah, I hope so.
It's a nice little fun thing we can do with the show that doesn't really mean anything, like in the big picture, but it's a fun way to interact with everybody. That's kind of silly. Like our show. So, yeah.
So, I guess we should try and pitch a game here, right? That's what we do.
Yeah. Pausing for a second.
We're
going to need gas soon, aren't you?
Yeah, we can stop anytime.
Do you want to pause before the pitch and stop? Because I see there's some places right up here.
That's fine. We can do that.
Okay. All right. Now it's time for practicing the pitch.
Uh-oh.
So today, because none of us have a pitch prepared, because Andy didn't do his job, we gave Andy at least 20 minutes of notice before we started recording. And 20 minutes is his golden time because
they did
this podcast.
Tell me I would even be on an episode of the podcast.
Until about 20 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah.
Which is plenty of time for Rob and I to come up with a pitch, but
well,
apparently
yeah,
not for
you guys.
We're professional pitch artists.
Yes.
But only into the void, not to actual people. So, like, you know, we do it into the void and then people pick up the airwaves and listen via the podcast. But, you know, if we had to sit down in front
it's
of people and do it, it's
mechanism.
A lot harder.
It's a good vetting mechanism.
It is.
For BS.
It's true.
Throw it out there, and if it comes back, then we work on it.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
We've done that before, like, where we pitch a game and we think, nah, and then fans are like, dude, this game sounds really cool, and we're like, hey, maybe there's something to this game.
Okay.
So we didn't have anything prepared, but recently we got a tweet from Board Game Miser, and they challenged us to use their website. Specifically, they pulled a thing for us. And sent it to us, which, by the way, is a much better way to get us to do something when you actually send it to us, because it requires the least work possible, which Rob and I are huge fans of the least work possible.
Yeah, we don't like making an effort.
So, anybody who listens to that podcast is already aware of that. So Board Game Miser is a website. You go to it, you click it, and it gives you a bunch of crazy stuff for game ideas. Some of them are so crazy you couldn't do anything with. But sometimes, like, the idea is they can spur you onto a really good idea with some crazy things mixed in. So we're big fans of the site, and this is, Andy, you familiar with the site?
Yeah,
cool. So this is the one that Board Game Miser sent to us directly. Okay, mechanics. Maze.
I love mazes.
Sweet. So theme. Now, there's three themes here, choices, and so we're going to go with one of them.
We're going to go with all of them.
Well, all of them, yes. Okay. Actually, the theme is actually really good if we go with all three pieces. Invisibility.
Ooh.
UFO.
Ah.
Counterfeit. I'm sensing people faking UFO sightings here. The victory is the most courage points. And the constraint is it must have a traitor, which I think fits actually very well with this. So... So, my initial thoughts would be...
So, wait, let me see that.
Yeah, sure. My initial, like, my off-the-cuff thoughts would be this. What if we are... Because courage points is the winner, right? So,
yep.
What if we are kids, like, Super 8 style, who are trying to figure out the aliens
Love
that
it.
Are being faked by the CIA, right? Trying to uncover a plot.
See, this is why you have a podcast.
Thanks.
Thanks. So,
genius.
So for the more things we expose, the more courage we get, yes. Right? The constraint is you must have a traitor, which means one of his kids...
is a coward.
Well, or is, like...
is an alien.
Yeah, is an alien. Yeah.
Oh! So, okay, but not... oh, I like that, though. He's an alien, but he's not necessarily, bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's just trying to keep it covered up, because, you know, he's like E.T. He just wants to phone home and get the heck out of there.
He's having a great time with these kids.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, he's like, hey, maybe he's like Elf. He's like, hey, feed me some cats.
Hey, Willy.
Gordon Shumway,
yeah.
All right. So, anyways, and then what's the maze mechanic? Oh, that's going to be a little tough to work with, I think.
It can be like a tile laying.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Like a corn maze? They're like running through a corn
what
maze.
What if it's a maze made out of crop circles?
Yes!
Yeah, an alien
yes!
spaceship.
Ta-da! And the crop circles, some of them would be counterfeit, right?
Well, crop circles are counterfeit.
Well... I know that.
In this game, they're not, though.
What
Wait,
if in this
the
game...
aliens... okay, so the kids need to get courage points, but the aliens trying to make it look like there wasn't actually aliens there. So he's trying to make the crop circles look like they were made by, like, teens in a truck that just went out into the woods and made... so he's trying to cover
so
up
so in the
his
woods
own.
They made a crop circle, just to be clear, like they were in the woods and that's where they
Did
made
I say
a crop
woods?
Circle. This is why you don't have a podcast.
I do have a podcast.
Oh, do you? I'm sorry, I forgot.
So
Well, you know,
because you've got a traitor you need a traitor mechanism, so you need like asymmetric gameplay, so you've got kids that are collecting courage points somehow, you've got an alien what's there, you know, trying to cover up their own existence while hanging out with the kids.
Well, hey, if there were invisible aliens in the field, and some of the crop circles are counterfeit, right? That fits all three things. And the courage points could be exploring that field through the maze because, you know, there's invisible aliens around there.
Yeah.
Well, see, traitor implies that one of the players is working against the other one. So maybe the traitor shouldn't be a secret alien. Maybe it should be secretly a government agent.
Oh.
Because maybe the kids just want to meet the aliens because they're kids
yeah,
and they're nice.
Right.
But the guy wants to capture the aliens.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like, though, the idea of an alien being the traitor and having the traitor not be negative.
Yeah, that's sort of... I don't think I've ever seen anything like that where it's just you secretly have a... different
agenda that's not
okay.
bad.
It's just not a bad agenda, just a different one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the alien is trying to make it home. Maybe he's just trying to phone home like E.T., right?
Yeah.
Or something. Or he's trying to... maybe they're not in a crop maze. Maybe they're trying to explore the alien spaceship. And so the kids are trying to take control of the spaceship so they can fly it home and they can get it. And the alien's trying to take control and fly it to his home. Well, maybe that is
okay. Ooh, how about this? What if the spaceship is broken down, right? It's invisible and it's broken down in the field. Somewhere in this massive crop circles. The aliens were making tons of crop circles in this cornfield, and their spaceship crashed, right?
Okay.
And so there's parts of the spaceship all around. So the kids are trying to collect the parts of the spaceship to do something with. But the alien is trying to get the parts of the spaceship to fix his stinking ship so he can go home. Right? Not a bad thing. It's just... It's working contrary to what the kids want to do.
Okay, so the kids then they're visiting different sections of the crop, the maze and the crop mm-hmm. circles. Okay, and in different sections there are tiles or tokens that are face down, right? And so you go to a location and you flip a token over, and that tells you you're searching the place for invisible pieces, and you flip the thing over and sometimes there's a part and sometimes there's not. Right, but any given kid can only carry a certain number of those tokens. Okay, so the kids are trying to collectively collect a certain number of those tokens, but the alien wants to carry all those for those kids. And if the alien can get control of five of the tokens, then he can fix his ship and fly away.
So there's a constraint on what you can carry, and if the alien can convince people to like. So you have to work together to carry the stuff.
Right.
But if the alien can get enough stuff, then he can fly away.
And he could need specific parts, even. Like, he could need 5 specific parts.
That could work.
So, like, you feel like you can give him parts, but he's like, oh, can you hold this? Like, can you take this for me? I'm going to take this. Because if it was some sort of set collection mechanic, as the team, it would make sense. But really, kind of like Forbidden Island style, you know, where you're passing artifacts around trying to, because you, like, I need this so I can go get this. Yeah. And he's trying to make the case for that.
It's more efficient to pass things than it is to take it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. And now, in those tokens that you flip over, when there's not an alien spacecraft part there, there's a government agent who pops out of the corn maze. Oh. And then you have to stand up against him. And if you stand up against him, if you win your die roll, then you gain courage points for standing up against the government agent.
Right. You know, an easy way to picture the mechanic for saying passing is better than keeping is you find these invisible objects, right? But they're still invisible. So in the game, it can be described in the mechanics as you find an object, so you're basically like saying it's right here, and your nearest friend is going to pick it up because you're showing them where it is, so they're going to take it. So that gives you the opportunity to pass it to whoever you want to. And maybe when you do that, they give you a part, so you have to trade, right? Because that would really get that movement happening. And maybe the alien can't get courage points, right? Because they're the traitors. So maybe something different happens when they encounter a government agent. But it would have to be not readily apparent that something different was happening.
Well, so
they
you
would still roll, and they would still, it would appear as if they were getting courage points.
Yeah.
But their courage points at the end would do something different. Like if they accumulated so many of them.
Yeah,
that would be maybe bad. Like it shows, like at the end, like oh, the alien actually got caught by the government.
Exactly. Yeah. If the alien ends the game with 5 courage points, and then that actually means he got caught by the agents.
Yes.
Yeah.
So courage points for him are actually negative.
Yes.
Right.
I think the maze aspect of it. I really like the idea of like concentric circles.
It could be a modular
tiles,
board. Yeah.
And then, like, shifting them around and, like, I think my favorite maze game might be Sero. You ever play Sero?
No.
I've heard of it, though. I've seen it.
Yeah, it's something like that, but with, like, concentric circles. I need to draw it out, but, like, just the idea of having these concentric circles and having the board, as you build it, start to look like a crop circle would be pretty badass.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I like that. Okay.
So, in summary,
you know, it would be cool if you had the option whether or not you wanted to fight the agent or run away. Because maybe the alien, because they don't want courage points, they consistently want to run away. So, what if the agents were, like, different power levels? So, when you flip it over, like, oh, it's a 1, 2, or 3, say, right? So, the alien has always got to be, like, well, you know, I don't think I should fight this agent because of this. Like, I've got my hands full, and you're like, so like in game, being able to give a reason why you shouldn't have to do it.
Instead of rolling a die, you draw a card that you have to keep secret, and that is your like power level against the agent.
Oh. You draw an agent card,
and then you choose whether to run or so that when you run, nobody knows why you're running.
Yeah,
and you can say I'm running from this agent because I got this agent's a 3 and I got a 2. Might just be the alien.
Yeah, I like that.
That kind of makes me want to put in a mechanic like Forbidden Island has, where once there's X number of agents on top, you shuffle those back in, like that you've discarded face down, you put those back on top, because that would start to help you figure out, like, wait a minute, Rob took one of those, Rob and Andy both took those, and one of those agents is level 1 and they didn't fight it? Like, what the heck? That means Rob or Andy is going to be the alien. Right?
Yeah.
That would be kind of fun. Hey, I feel really good about that. That was...
We
knocked that out of the park.
Yeah. That is not bad at all.
Cool. Board Gameizer strikes again.
That went really fast, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We, like, burned through that pitch. We were like, what's up, pitch? Yeah. We made that game our pitch.
It's funny because you used a P instead of a B.
Right. If it was a B, Rob would have had to bleep it out. So.
Right.
Puns are the lowest form of humor.
It's okay.
But I mean like on an atomic level, not like they're like bad. Just all humor is built from puns.
Right.
So
okay.
So guys, so how this is gonna work then is you're gonna hear this episode on the 16th, mm-hmm. and then we will be recording on the way home the episode you're gonna hear next week.
The exciting conclusion.
So this is a yeah. this is a two-parter. It's a cliffhanger.
Yeah. And they're gonna kill me at the end.
But that's not the cliffhanger. Something even better.
Something you might actually care about. Yeah, I was trying to think if there was anything else. So right now, to sum up...
You normally do questions.
We do.
We do have a question. Wait, do we have questions?
I don't know, do we?
We have one question. Here, Andy, you want to hold this?
Thank you.
We have one question from our website, and I'd like get it because we've missed it for a while.
All right.
And it's from one of our pals, and I feel bad that we keep missing it. We just haven't been able to get into the website. We haven't thought about getting into the website while we were recording the last time.
Yeah.
So, the nice thing about the ones on the website is we never miss them altogether. We just get back to them sometimes.
This is Jason stalling while he tries to pick it up on his phone.
All right, here we have a comment on the website. Roger Hicks. Sorry, Roger, this was back for episode 103. Sorry it took us a while to get back to it. I know sometimes we suck at that, but you've been listening for a long time, Roger, so you already know that. What am I telling you for? And you said, hey, guys, another awesome episode. I really enjoy your show. Here's an idea for the Valiance game. So pull your thinking cap out, Rob. It was a while back. The attacker chooses a card to play as the attack. The defender can block the attack by playing a card with the defensive symbol, the upper deck logo. Thank you for clarifying that, Roger, because I would have forgot that.
Yeah.
In the same position as the attack symbol slash Valiance logo. On the attack card, so if I play an attack card with a Valiance symbol in the upper left, you can block it by playing a card with the upper deck logo in the upper left. Oh, interesting. It, like, defines where the attack is.
Yeah.
That makes sense. If the defender can't block... instead has to counter by playing a card depicting one of the same characters. Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's good.
And the attacker's card. If a player can't do that, they take a hit.
He should have pitched that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have. Roger, way to go. That is way better than our pitch. We just got pitch slapped.
It's funny again.
Oh, that's my...
Because it's like with the B word. With a P. See?
They always say the funniest jokes are the ones you have to explain.
Yeah. It's funny.
You made it funnier by explaining it. Right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if we... Just a couple comments we have here based on the Board Gameizer thing. Jonathan King, Sarcastic Robot, said, this could be a semi-co-op game like Legendary. Must brave invasions and disprove counterfeits. One player is controlled by aliens... the other, he says, player disproves or braves an invasion, gets courage points. The map is a maze, and the moves are limited by turns. So, some of those things are on the same line we had, so good thoughts. Yeah. Let me just check my Twitter feed.
They were like what we said, so it was good. Because we are awesome.
I think you figured this out. shout out to a Twitter conversation I had recently, sometime in the near future, Jason Tagmeyer and I are going to be starting a band.
Okay.
And that band is going to be called...
Wait for it. Wait for it. It's going to be good, guys.
No.
Keep waiting.
You're going to have to cut this part.
It's really exciting listening to you talk about Twitter.
Mm-hmm. It is.
The Unprepared Jasons, that's going to be the name of our band.
The Unprepared Jasons.
Because people were mocking us for not being prepared for stuff, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, so we can just cut that whole bit.
Okay.
Oh, or that could be the end of the show.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening. Again, join us next week for the shocking conclusion of this Building the Game story arc with special guest Andy Lennox. It's like a radio drama up in here. It's great. We will see you guys in about 12 hours. Yeah.
Well, actually, about a week.
It'll be a week. But for us, it will only be 12 hours. It's like there's a time differential.
Mm-hmm.
Basically time travel. That's the spoiler for the next episode. FYI. All right.
Okay.
You can contact us at buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at J.A. Slingerland. Rob is at poorly_designed, and Andy is at Andy_Lennox.
There you go.
That's what I thought. Thank you for helping. Also, you could like us on Facebook. You could give us a 5-star review on iTunes, as Rob says, please, 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 please. You could also follow us on Twitter at @podcastBTG. Highly encourage that. We're almost to 1,000, which means we're going to give away a fantastically large game, still in shrink wrap, and we'll announce that as soon as we hit 1,000. And also, you could do other things to get in touch with us. I don't know what.
Smoke signals.
Smoke signals are good. Remember, when you see us sometime in person, to tell us you're a Valiant builder. Likely that will be at Gen Con. Though I'm going to hit up Proto Spiel in Ann Arbor probably, so maybe there. Rob actually might be there too, depending on the timing.
Yeah.
Now we're just talking to ramble. So I think we will say goodnight.
Okay. Later on.
Bye.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game.
Yes.
I'm trying to make your life easier.
Well,
so
while
you're
getting that, we should record the, like, goofy weird thing that goes at the end. So, be funny.
So we usually do that beforehand.
Oh, I see, I see. I didn't bring any beer to spill in your car.
Thank you.
So
I don't want beer spilled in my car.
So we can't do that.
No.